Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What a beautiful song that is. If you're not used to a cappella singing, you've experienced the most beautiful singing in the world. And it's what God expects in worship. And we sing without the help of mechanical instruments or music. Because the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So individual worship is required in Testament Christians. We sing, amen, we pray, we take collection. We will send a plate around once because God loves a cheerful giver, amen. And we'll preach from the Word of God, the Bible. The Word of God, and we're thankful to have you here today. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Yeah, we believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. He shed his blood, and that blood will wash away your sins upon baptism, and then you'll be added to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. And so it's good to be back from Syracuse, New York. Yeah. Fire baptism, many, many restorations, a huge revival. And top it all off, I was able to go see one of the wonders of the world, and that is Niagara Falls. That was a beautiful, beautiful sight. The church treated me to that. That was a plan my wife and I had last year, and she got ill on me, and then we weren't able to make it, and they thought they would bless me with a trip there, and it was sobering, and it was thought-provoking for me. Yeah, and to see something like that makes you think how good God is and how powerful God is and the creation, the world makes you think about God. And so it was good. It was a good experience for me. Good to be back. I'm tired, but it was a lot of work because it was a lot of driving and traveling and hard preaching all week. But I'm glad to be back home. And I know I serve a congregation that loves me, and I know that. I know that, and I love you all, and I know you know I love you, and I appreciate you so very much. Amen. This morning, continuing our series of studies of Stand Upright series. The first lesson from that series was called Stand Upright and Admit, and that one means in order to get to heaven, you're going to have to stand upright and admit you have a problem, and the problem you have is sin. We all have a sin problem. Number two, after you admit you have a sin problem that you cannot fix on your own, and you don't want to die like that, because if you die in your sin, Jesus said, where I am, you can't come. The second thing you got to do is permit God into your life. Jesus said, I stand at your door and knock, which means you are have the opportunity to open that door and let him into your life by obedience to his gospel. Thirdly, we talked about how once you stand upright and admit, permit, commit, then you must commit your life to him. Make a commitment once you obey God, commit to him, and then submit. This morning is you have to, after committing to God, you have to then submit to him. And sub means sub to. When you're sub to God, always God looks down on us, and he wants us to stay in a sub mode, a submit, a sub below, low. Taking it low. And let's go to James chapter 4 this morning, where we'll get our thought from and continue to study that and give you this lesson, be yours. In verse 1, let's just study chapter 4 of James. This is where it comes from. James chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, where the text is up. In James 4, 1, the Bible says, from whence
come wars
and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even of your lust,
that war in your members?
James not speaking of war as in fighting. He's speaking of a spiritual war that's going on within us. Within us, we have a spiritual war. This body, the body against the flesh, against the spirit. We all have this war. In this chapter, he's talking about what I've dealt with you all, the pollution of the mind, the heart. Can be polluted, and he gives the solution here. He says, now, where's the war coming from? So how many of you are having this internal struggle when you're trying to live right, you're trying to do right for God, but yet your flesh is calling for sinful things, and you're falling to those things. He said, you're fighting against it. You're here this morning, but you've been fighting sin all week long, amen. You've been fighting sin all your life. And so James is saying, if you're having these internal spiritual battles, it's happening up here. Nothing nothing happens with the members or the hands until the thought occurs. The thoughts and the feet take you into places. Eyes can take you into places, but it all starts with the mind. He said, you lust.
And have
you,
not.
You lust. You want what you have not. And you kill.
And
you mean
you,
you do what you got to do to get what you want. And then you what you desire to have and cannot obtain. And he said, you fight in war. You fight in war, yet you have not
because you ask not.
He said, now, basically, James said, how far will you go to get the things you want when God will provide? This is something we talked about last week. How Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Many of us caught up on looking for the things of life. The things is what got us in trouble. If we would just seek ye first God, the things wouldn't get us. But what gets us in life are the things. We go far beyond to get the things. We'll go to, we have two jobs on Sunday to get things and miss both worship service. We'll miss Bible class to get more things. We'll do all kinds of things to get more things. But if God is saying, if you just ask me, you wouldn't have to go and get three and four jobs to get things. He said, but here's the problem. Here's the problem. You ask that you ask, you have not because you what? Ask not. Then he said in verse 3,
you ask and you receive not
because
you ask amiss.
He said, now when you ask amiss, it's out there in the amiss somewhere. And in other words, it's not based on what God wants for you. It's based on what you want for you. And when you ask God for what you want for you and it's not according to God's will, it's amiss. Understand this. Willful sin is because you decided to sin. Willful sin would get us in trouble. It's because of our own will. When we're in trouble because we do what we want to do to satisfy our members, our flesh. Amen. That's what willful sin, that's why willful sin is a problem. Willful sin is the sin that you commit by the, by you know what you're doing, you're willfully doing it, and it's against the will of God. That's why that sin must be repented of and confessed.
Amen.
You ask amiss. He said that you may consume it
upon your lust.
You ask him because this is what you want, more money. You want another job. You want a bigger house. You want another car. You want all this stuff. You're asking and miss because it's not God's will for you to have it. If you live according to God's will, you put God first, he'll bless you in so many different ways. But see, many of us are missing our blessings because we operate off our will and not the will of God. He called them adulterers. He said, you're adulterers.
And adulterers,
men and women.
Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world
is the enemy of God.
Jesus is, James is speaking of spiritual adultery. When we seek the things of the world, those things become your God. Amen. So when we became Christians, we were married to Christ. The baptism was the marital ceremony where Christ became the husband and we became his wife. When you go out and seek other things, when you seek jobs and when you seek other things before God, you are becoming an adulterer. That other God is your mate. That's your mate. Your job is your mate. Your whatever you put in before God is your wife. You are committing adultery on God. You cannot serve God and the devil. You can't be on the fence. If you leave the church, if you go back to the world, then you have become an enemy of God. But you are a friend of the world. When you become a friend of the world, that means you left God and you start living worldly life. And that's why so many people today are in trouble spiritually, because their will is to live according to the world and not according to the will of God. Men and women are adulterers and adulteresses. What? They are serving something other than God.
Amen.
That makes you an adulterer. Can't serve both God and mammon. Your service to whomever you obey. Now, we don't like this thought, but if we're not serving God, we're serving the devil. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says there, Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Listen to the Bible.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey.
So whoever we yield to obey this week,
his service ye are to whom ye obey.
That's who you serve.
whether of sin unto death.
Who you serve? And that sin unto death means you're serving the devil. The devil is the only one can cause sin unto death. Then he says, or obedience
unto righteousness.
Eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. See, God only listens to the righteous prayers. So listen carefully if you're visiting. God does not hear a sinner's prayer. John 9:31. This we know, God hears not sinners. So why doesn't God hear a sinner? Because you're a friend of the world. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish. You should not perish. Because you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. And that's why when you start thinking about this, then what he's basically saying to us is that if we become a friend of the world, we're serving the devil. He's a prince of the world. That becomes your God. Amen. And so he says, you serve to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. See, he says this now. You can obey and become right. Who do we must obey to be righteous? We must obey God in order to be a righteous man or woman. So you can't serve both God and the devil. Verse 5, he said, do you think that the scripture said in vain, or James 4? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusted to envy? Notice a question here. Notice this. Nothing in the scripture is vain. Our spirit without the spirit of God, listen carefully, as the spirit of man will lust, so naturally I will lust in a natural body. That's why one must be born again to be a spiritual man or woman. See, it's called the flesh. If you stay in the flesh, you stay in the you're following the nature of man. It's by nature a man would want a woman. It's by nature a woman would want a man. It's not natural affection for a male to want to marry a male. That's not natural affection. Natural affection is not for a female to want to marry a female. That's what the world wants us to buy into. But the natural affection it's a natural thing for a man to lust after a woman. That's nature. By nature, females are attracted to males. By nature, males are attracted to females. Now, when you start thinking about this thing, he said, the spirit dwelleth in us lusted to envy. Now, our spirit without the spirit of God, as a spirit man, will lust to envy. This is why it's important that we then obey the gospel. It's important that we be born again, because when we're born again, we receive the spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, everybody turn there. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, the spirit is a little S and a big S relationship. You have to have a little S and a big S relationship in order to deal with this flesh we got. Brother, let me say something to you. It's nobody walking through those doors this morning that don't deal with sin. And none of us do. See, but the difference between us and the people of the world, we got the big S working with the little S. If you just stay with the little S, you defeat it. Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. You got to obey the gospel in order to receive the spirit of God. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. This is good teaching, whether you want it or not. In verse 14, he says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are.
They are the sons of God.
Here's the thing. The difference between the man and the world and us is that we're following the guidance of the Spirit. When you follow the guidance of the Spirit, the guidance of the Spirit is not going to come to you at night and say, okay, here's what you do next. You got to study and receive with meekness the Word of God. The Word of God is given us by the Spirit of God. And when our spirit bear witness with our spirit, then we are led by the Spirit of God. Listen to it. For as many have received the Spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received it, rather, but you have received the Spirit of adoption. When we're adopted as children of God, that's how we can call God our Father. No one can call God the Father, our Father, unless they be adopted into the family of God through obedience to the gospel of Jesus. God only had but one child. His child was the Son of God. He died that we may be shed his blood to wash our sins away. And when the sins are washed, we're in a purified state where we can receive the word or the spirit of God. That's how we become children of God. Abba means papa. No one can call God papa if they don't have his spirit. Big S, little S. Remember this when you leave. Big S, little S. No big S, no little S. Little ass gonna run you down. Little ass runs you after the flesh. Big ass side guides you toward God. So you got to have the big ass in order for the little ass to stay under control. The children will get this if the old folk don't. Well, we gotta have children. Big ass to guide the little ass. Some of you using the little ass, no big ass. That's why you're falling. That's why you're going. Amen. That's why you don't give right. That's why you don't love. That's why you can't forgive. That's why you won't give. You won't have a second. You don't give a, get yourself out of these sinful conditions you're in because the little ass is guiding you. And he said, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if the spirit, big ass is not guiding you, then you are not the child of God. This is hard stuff, isn't it? No, we're just talking about admitting that you can't make the heaven without God. That's the number one. Now, admit that you cannot deal with this life without having a temptation by nature to sin. Number two, you got to permit God into your life to help you. Once you get him in, you got to commit till you die. If you don't stay committed to him, you're going to leave him. And then now, number four, you better submit to him. You better submit to under his guidance. Big ass, little ass. Get it with me. Big ass, little ass. Who's guiding? Big ass guides the little ass. As long as the big ass guides the little ass, we're submit to big ass. Little ass submits to big ass. You can't have little ass, you can't have big ass unless you contact the blood of big ass's son. That happens in baptism. When, so somebody said, well, this doesn't make me feel good. I know James said that too. Go back to James 4 and verse 6. Notice what he said. He said, but he give it more grace, wherefore he said,
God resisted the proud.
Now here we go. When you go start looking at admitting I'm just a wretched sinner. I gotta let my pride go. See, to get baptized, you got to get rid of all your pride. No one is going to get baptized with a lot of pride. Mm-hmm. Man, you can't do this without God. Amen. You're doomed. We are doomed. If we are doomed, I said, if we try to do it without God. And the only thing God wants us is to sub to him. Is God giving grace to who?
The humble.
The humble. The humble, though, who take the low road. You know what the low road is? You be the floor mat if somebody's doing you wrong. You let them step on you. Because that's submitting to God. Amen. See, the person that stepped on you, God gave his son for him and you. So he expect you to take it from that soul because he sent his son to save that soul. So you submit to God. If you always submit to God, you don't never look down on nobody else because you're always looking up to
him. Amen.
But when you're looking at self, you see no God. Therefore, you're not going to forgive your sister or brother because you don't see no salvation. You don't see no soul. I think I said this last time. I hate no one. There's no one in my life I haven't forgiven.
Amen.
Can you say that? You should be able to say there's no one that has done something so bad to me and I can't forgive them. I don't speak to them. I ain't got nothing to do with them. You say, well, Brother Bruce, you don't know my father molested me. It doesn't matter. What the father did, God would deal with him. But you have to sub to God. That father of yours still got a soul. Jesus still died for him. What God is saying, it doesn't matter what they done to you. You remember what I done for you. What I done for you, I done for them.
Amen.
What did he do for you? He forgave you of everything you ever done, and it took the death of his child. So God is saying, if you can't understand that other soul that done you wrong has equal rights to the blood of Jesus, and he expects us to love them even if they are our enemy. Hang them on the cross. Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they
do.
Yeah. When we live this kind of a life, we're in a submission mode. We're submitted to the will of God. We're submitted to the big S guiding us through life. Some of you are miserable living in your past. You can't forgive. You've been hurt. You just live over that. Won't you come in the presence? Ain't nobody hurt you right now. Everything that happens to us is in our past after it happened. But God said, James said, it seemed like me, James, he kind of said, you guys seem a little downcast to pray while I'm reading that thing. He kind of looked like James got, after he called him a dunce, he said, well, let me give you some encouragement here. He said, God going to resist the proud, but he going to give grace to the humble. He called them adulterers. They probably like some of us this morning, kind of start feeling down. So what do you feel down about? If you just deal with the little S, just deal with it. You never got a reason to feel down when it's about God. See, you can't not love. You can't see the cross and never see love. You can't see the cross and not see forgiveness. You can't see the cross and not see grace. But when you see God, you see God. You see love. You see forgiveness. You see grace. You see mercy. That's what we see when we see God. See, so, but when we take our eye off of God and we start looking at our own life, we start feeling down about our life. You can feel down about your life, about what you've done in your past, about going back or falling away. You left the church. You should be here. You knew you've been gone a long time, but you're back today. You're here today, which means you still got a conscience that's working in your favor about what you might feel down about what you're doing or what you're going about, how you're going about to get money. Maybe you've lied. Maybe you've done things dishonest. Maybe you've done things that says to you, and I'm saying to you, and you're hearing today, that your friend is the world. Your God is the devil. It's not God, and you're feeling bad. But James said, and he said, God going to give you some grace. Amen. If you just humble yourself, you go into a submitted mode, God will give you grace. He'll give you grace. When people are beating up on you, and you get your pride kicks in, you start seeking revenge, you try to retaliate. But God said, hold on, just humble yourself, call yourself humility. God will send you some grace. What did God said? Look here, I'm God. You just stay up. You keep the little S lined up with the big S. It don't matter what the enemies are doing for them. If God be for you, they just whose? They're the whose. The who can't touch you. The who can't touch you unless God say so. Ask Job. God had a hedge around him. The devil knew that. We got a hedge around us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Get there. Let me show you our circle, our hedge. What protects us? What protects us? We'll see here in a minute. As long as you line up with the big S, you got protection. Listen to what he said, Ephesians 1:13.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
That's those who've been saved, been washed in the blood.
In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit.
You were sealed with what?
The Holy Spirit of promise.
See, our seal, our protection from the devil is the Holy Spirit of promise. So we're sealed. So God has a permissive will. In other words, when God circled, he circled us with the devil got to ask the same question about us. He asked about Job. Like when God said, have you considered my servant so-and-so at Hollow Heights? Have you considered him or her? And he said, no, I can't. You seal them. You got a seal around. He said, well, I can't get to him. That's what he's saying. When we are hedged by God, the big S is in control. See, you don't have to fight your enemy. You don't have to retaliate. The big S got it. God said, vengeance is mine. I don't need you retaliating. You love them so I can save them. But if they die like that, it's a fearful thing. God is saying they don't want to face me on judgment. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. God said, but as long as you're living, you just love them anyway, because I'm not willing that they perish. My will is that they come to repentance. Amen. Yeah. So God, your enemy, God is trying to get you to live in a way that will cause your enemy to come to repentance. And when that enemy comes to repentance, God's will is being done, because his will is not for them to perish, y'all. If we hate somebody, if we can't speak, if we can't forgive, that's your will and not the will of God. You're an enemy of God and a friend of the world. You say, so James said, look here. God gonna resist those who are proud. So the proud will never come in under the big S. They on their own. They running things. They in their own life. See, until you admit you can't do this, you're going to die like this now. You're going to die in your sin unless you make some changes. And the first change you need to make is humility. You got to humble yourself and admit you can't do this without the Lord. That's why you're here this morning. In your heart of hearts, you really know you need God. In your heart of hearts, you know you need to be in this place. In your heart of hearts. Amen. But you're fighting that lust. You're fighting that flesh. And as soon as you walk out the door, if the big S ain't involved, you know who takes over? The little S is not led by the Spirit of God. It's Apollyon, Abaddon, king of the bottomless pit, deceiver of the world. Oh, Satan guides you. He's going to get you three ways. I'm going to put in front of you what you want. Flesh is calling for that water because I'm thirsty. He want me to grab it because it's quenching. It's going to quench your desire. That's I. Flesh. Pride. I don't need that. God said, when you reach, think about me. Humble yourself, because that'll kill you. Pride said, I can handle it. I got me. Flesh got me. Pride said, I got it. I don't need to get right. I don't have to act right. You can't tell me what to do. You're not my daddy. You're not my mama. Who are you, Brother Brooks? Y'all folks, they get real. Pride got you. See, pride got you when you can't humble yourself and you can't admit that you are the problem in your marriage. You're the problem. You say, what about how you know I'm the problem? If sin's involved, you're the problem. It takes two to make a good marriage. Somebody got to humble themselves and submit to the will of God, and that marriage always already better because of your submission. When people in the church can't work together, the devil's in the midst. Somebody is not humble, or both of you not humble, so you're fighting each other because the devil got you. He got you with pride of life. Pride means when you let pride go, it don't matter what folk, they can spit in your face, they can slap you, they can hit you with a buffet fit, they can drive nails in your hand, hang you on the cross, and you'll still forgive them. You know what I'm talking about now, don't you? Yeah, but some of us can't take no spit. We ain't gonna take no spit, and we ain't gonna take no words from nobody. And don't mess around and send me a little something that I ain't like what you just said. Today they got modern technology where if I don't like you, I can send you a text message with a whole lot of screaming going on. I can yell at you through email. I can just hit a whole lot of exclamation marks. You get the point, huh? I don't like you. Now I'm gonna tell you who helped you type that email. Your daddy. The devil, yeah, say it like that. You know, man, we got all kind of ways of screaming at people. You ain't got to say nothing. Go to Facebook. Look at Facebook. How many people on Facebook are doing nothing but working for the devil? Even in the Lord's church. Carla, who won the argument? That we are not in this to win arguments through debates. We're in this to win souls. You see a church of Christ arguing with a Baptist. Who wins? Who wins? God only wins when we're in an humble mode. Let's get it closed here. He giving it's quiet. I told him in Syracuse, y'all got quiet. Like they got quiet up there too. I said, they do this to me back home. Y'all kind of like them. But I got some people here, they pretty honest. They said, brother, we get quiet when you're coming down our street. Yeah, that just means we're listening now. I got your full attention. Let's close this now. This is the best part of your lesson. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to who?
The humble.
But God gives grace to the humble. God resists proud, give grace. Notice this, he says.
Submit yourselves, therefore.
There
that
word is right there. See, he said, here's the solution. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist who?
The devil.
And he will what?
Flee from you.
Therefore, when you humble yourself, it will cause you to be in alliance with God. Your little S is in alliance with God. And as long as the devil see you lined up with the big S, he going to run. The devil ain't coming after those of us who are lined up in the big. He can't handle us. He couldn't handle Job. He was going. He said, where you at? I'm going to and fro, in and out of lives. I don't know, earth. What are you doing? I'm going in and out of lives. Everybody don't have you. I'm going to tear them apart. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he made. He's out to tear us apart. He's tearing us up. Amen. If we don't have the big S, if we're not in alliance with him, if we're not humble ourselves, he said, when you humble yourself, when you submit to God, when you resist the devil, then and only then will the devil run.
Amen. Amen.
I want that rascal to run from me. I don't know about y'all.
Amen.
I want him to flee.
Amen.
Don't you want him to flee?
Amen.
Amen. Listen to verse number 8. Draw nigh to God.
And he will draw nigh to you.
Cleanse your hands.
Ye sinners.
Purify your
hearts.
You
double-minded.
Two minds. How do you cleanse your body? Through baptism. 1 Peter 3, 1 and verse number, how you cleanse your soul. 1 Peter 1, 22, I'm closing. He says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying
the truth.
So you got to obey the truth. Here's the truth. The truth is, there is only one God. The truth is, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and one body in the church. That church is the church of Christ. You got to obey the truth. The truth is, obedience to baptism is where you get your first cleansing at. 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 2:38, baptism washes away sins. Acts 22:16, arise while tarriest thou, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You're purifying your soul when you obey, when you're washed in the water. When you're washed in the water. That's why the Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 10:22, get this for me. I'm getting to the end here. He said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having
our
hearts
sprinkled
with
an evil conscience,
and our bodies washed
with pure water.
Now, in John 19:34, the Bible said when they killed Jesus on the cross, they took a spear and pierced him in the side. Watch out, come purified water. It came out blood and water. The purest man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. The purest blood ever shed was Jesus Christ. You take water and blood, the blood of Jesus, that's a purifying solution. It'll purify you. It'll purify your soul. It'll cleanse you. You got to wash your body with pure water. Baptism is pure water mixed with the blood of Jesus that purifies it. Until you are born of the water of the Spirit, you're not gonna be purified. So when you submit to God, you submit your obedience to Him in baptism. He said, "Be afflicted, be mourn, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaven." This verse is directed to those who are unconcerned with their worldly living. Their joys are they're enemies of God. You should be afflicted by that. You should be mourning over this fact. Your laughter should turn to mourning and your joy to heaven is a sorrow this morning. You know what? I'm an enemy of God, Brother Brooks. Yeah, because you went back to the world. So what I got to do? Humble yourself. Come back home. You just do like the prodigal son. I sinned against you, Lord. I admit that I've done wrong. Just like the prodigal son, I'm on my way back home, down on my bended knee, begging you to save this soul of mine. What are you doing? You're in humble submission to God. When you humble yourself, you're going into a submission mode. You're submitting to the will of God in your life. See, brother, if you've been away from the church, humble yourself this morning and come home. Amen. Humble yourself this morning and make your confession. Humble yourself. Go into a submission. Go into a sub-role to God and let God lead your life. You're going to fall. Yes, we all going to make mistakes. We all subject to sin. But God is saying, when you do sin, confess your fault one to another, and we'll pray for each other. He said, confess your sins. I'm just to forgive you. He already know it. He wants you to admit. He wants you to permit him to come into your life. He wants you to commit to living for him. He wants you to stay humble and submission to him. When you do that, you start living a life according to the will of God, and then you're standing upright and submit yourself to the will of God. Jane went on to say, don't even plan nothing without God in it. Don't say what I'm going to do here and this or that unless you say it's the Lord's will. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Life is just a vapor that appeared for a little while and vanishes away. Then he said he didn't know what to do good and do it not to him or her. It's a sin. Brother and sister, you know now. You know. Well, let's go over it one more time. What you got to do? Number one, admit. Number two, permit. Number three, commit. Number four?
Submit.
And when you submit, which S is on top?
Big S.
What the big S doing to the little S? As long as the big S got the little S, you may sin, but you're going to do what the little S tell you to do. The big S tell you to do to get back right. When I fall, I confess my sin and get back right. When somebody wronged me, I go to them and say, I'm sorry. Do you forgive me? When I wrong somebody, I ask for forgiveness because the big S is guiding me to save this soul. The big S never guides me to hate. He never guides me not to forgive him. He never guides me to be mad at him. He never guides me to retaliate on him. The big S always guides me to do, to show the love of God. And the love of God means I'm going to love this brother even though he don't love me. Well, the big S is guiding me when I'm here today and I haven't been born of the water and of the Spirit. I've never heard what this man is talking about. The big S is trying to bring you into submission to him. In other words, when you hear God, understand this, God is a spirit and they that worship him must. Two things, worship him in spirit, attitude must be right. Number two, they must be taught the truth. Everything I taught this morning was the truth. Prove me wrong. Use the Bible, though. Don't prove me wrong with your feelings. Well, you know, I just feel in my heart, or you know, I got this feeling. Your feelings means nothing to God. What means to God is what he said. And God has said he spoke, and he's not going to take it back. He can't add to it, and we can't take from it. What God has said is final. Forever, oh Lord, that word is settled in heaven. It's over. No discussion about changing. Don't face God on the day of judgment, because there is a hell to miss. He's not going to go back on his promise. You're not going to get there. He said, well, honestly, you tried. You did the best you can. No, were you submitted to him? Were you in his will? Well, did you submit to him? Did you let the big S guide you? If the big S guide you, you'll be here on Sunday morning. You'll be back this afternoon. You'll be here on Wednesday night. You'll put him first.
Amen.
Say, okay, what do we do? How do we get there? How do we get there? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him, what? Should not what? Perish but have, you should not perish but have eternal life. What did he do? Send his son. What did his son do? Live a life free, a sin-free life. He did no wrong. There was no guile in his mouth. What did they do to him? Beat him, put a crown of thorns on his head. You know, led him up a hill called Calvary, drove nails in his hands and his feet, hung him between two thieves. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. So those who are going to submit to God must see his only son on the cross, bloody, beaten, and marred to save you. He did no wrong. He did it to save us. It was to bring us into humble submission to God. God, if you love me after all I've done, I can submit to your will. What is your will? That you obey gospel. The gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? You heard it. Do you believe it? You got to repent. You got to make a decision. You got to admit, permit, commit, and submit. You got to submit to him. Okay, Lord, I submit my life. I admit I can't do it. I want you in my life. I'm going to commit to you. I'm submitting humbly this morning by walking down the aisle, and then we'll take your confession. We ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? You'll say, I believe that Jesus Christ is. You're submitting. You're sub to him at that point. When you make that confession, Jesus said this, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. The only thing that'll stop you from confessing, either you don't believe it or you got too much pride to walk down here. And what's going to get us? I, flesh, pride. God resisted the pride and gave grace to the humble. And so once you're there, we baptize you, you receive the Spirit. In baptism, that's when you receive the big S. It's in baptism that you're purified by the purest water you can be. That's the water connected to the blood of Jesus. You receive the Holy Spirit. At that point, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Well, you cannot have eternal life without the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, except to be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So when you get the water, baptism, when you get the Spirit, baptism, when you hit the pure blood, baptism, when you receive the Spirit, baptism, what's going to guide your life after that point?
Big S.
Guides the little S. Got it? So little S is always in what mode?
Submission
mode. Who here today need to come to God? Who can let their pride go? You know what? I've been gone a long time, Brother Brooks. I was a friend of the world. I've been living that way, but I'm here today because I'm trying to get myself together. It's simple. All God wants you to do is stand up and admit it. Just confess your fault. Just confess your sins. And he's just to forgive. That's all he said. Look here, I already know you've been out there running. I know what you done. I know everything. Somebody say, well, what's done in the dark is going to come to the light. God is light. It's already in the light. You talking about people. That ain't what God's concerned. He said, what I see, you naked, Hebrew writer said. You're naked. You don't miss nothing. No matter how dark it gets, I got the light. Understand, we get away with nothing. Secret things you don't want the secret things to go to judgment. And the only way you can stop them is that you get born again. Because once you're born again, or if you ask for forgiveness, that's a secret. That secret thing is now going to come up on judgment. But if you don't ask for forgiveness, that secret you think you got away with, is you're going to face God on judgment. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We fear God to keep his commandment. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or I don't want nothing to come up on my day. Do you? I don't want nothing to come up. He said, your sins I remember no more. I sure don't want, I want God to have amnesia when I get up there.
Amen.
I want to have dementia and Alzheimer's. And that's my Alzheimer's water up there. God said, I get Alzheimer's once you get washed. I don't see nothing. How many of y'all want God not to see nothing? I don't want him to see nothing. I just want to hear him say, well done, that good and submissive. Sub 2, little ass, connected to the big S, and the big S connected to the. That's almost like one of them little songs, wasn't it? But you don't need to be laughing right now. You need to be crying. You know why you need to be crying? The price that was paid was the death of the most kindest man to ever live. The sweetest man to ever live. The man that never did no wrong, y'all. That's the one that died for us. Don't that make you thankful? It ought to make us humble, too. Because we needed a Savior, y'all. We needed a Savior. So here's what I want to do. Who's prepared to meet God today? If you don't wake up in the morning, you had a chance to prepare this morning, today. Why don't you prepare to meet God? Members of the church, prepare by, write down your prayer request. If you can't, if you're still fighting this thing, write it down as a prayer request. And maybe our prayers will keep you from dying. Amen. Number two, those who want to admit, who want to submit today and don't let pride get you and make your confession, don't write it on no card. You come down here and say, brother, I have sin. I'm ready to come home. Let us pray with you. Let us rejoice with you. That come home. Number three, those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I've been talking to you from the time I opened the sermon up. There's only one church. It's the Church of Christ. You got to be baptized, be a member of that church. Jesus said, only a few going to heaven. Now, if you're not in the Church of Christ, let's turn your recorder on. I'm saying it to you. You're not going to heaven. Why you say that, brother? I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the teachings of Christ must be obeyed in order for you to be lined up with the Spirit. And to obey God just when you're. Now, if you obey, he said, blessed are the dead to die in the Lord. To die in the Lord, to die in the body. To die in the body, to die in the church. Because the body is the church and the church is the body. So what's the body? The church. Which church? Well, who died for it? Christ. Which church is in the Bible? Romans 16:16 says, salute one another, holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's why. Now you know now, and it's on your record. You can't say you didn't know. Can't say you didn't know. So who I want you to come down, prepare this morning. We're going to baptize you. We got clothes. We got the sisters and brothers here are praying for you. We're going to help you get dressed. We're going to baptize you right now. And then the Lord going to add you to the body of Christ. And then you stay in that submission role and get ready for the next sermon. Because you got to start fighting once you submit. You ain't got to fight when you ain't submitted. See, the next sermon is standing up right and fight. But you can't fight. Ain't no sense in trying to fight the devil without God because you're a loser. You will be a loser. You got to be in alliance with the big S in order to deal with the devil. Amen. That's next week. Then after that, stand up right to the end because the end is coming. Whether he come back or whether you die, the end of you is coming. Will you come this morning? Who got the song? You got the song of Kermit? I want you to do this. Soon as you stand up, come for prayer requests. Come to confess your fault. Come to be baptized as together we stand and sing the song.